Welcome to the Football Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is The Full.
Okay, the team that we all love to mock, Spurs. Now, they have bought a bit here and there. There's always rumors about them buying more. Well, last season they had like 100 million in the bank, so they spent like they had 100 million in the bank. And I think that was it. In the end, everyone agrees that was their downfall. They've definitely got a very good manager in Pochettino, and I think he has the players at his disposal that he can play a very interesting and good game. I don't think Pochettino can do a lot in his first season. I think if he can get 6th or even 7th place for Spurs, and he manages to win a cup, which is entirely possible with the kind of squad Spurs has, so either the Capital Cup or the FA Cup, then Spurs should be happy.
Yes, yes.
And that's, I think, a very realistic goal for Spurs.
Yes, I agree. They got that sort of squad where you feel they should get one of the some silverware somewhere, or at least be in the finals for a silverware somewhere. Whether they can do that in multiple occasions will be interesting. But they got there. Say, Capital Cup, definitely a good showing for them. And the FA Cup, I would feel they should probably have, depending on draws there, you can always run into a bad draw.
Yeah, yeah.
In those cup competitions.
Especially the FA Cup.
Especially the FA Cup.
But I think Spurs, it's a rebuild season for sure. The only reason I don't think they'll be as successful in doing this rebuild season as, say, I think Man United are going to be doing it is because United do have a lot of money at their disposal. And I get the feeling even if we don't buy players now in the next month, there will be some players coming in the January window to strengthen in. Like Louis van Gaal, I get the feeling, has a plan like that. Whereas I think Pochettino is happy with a lot of the players he's got, and he'll be happy with 6th or 7th with the idea that we're going to build on that.
Yes, I can see that. Well, the other thing is that at Spurs, he'll have more freedom to have that sort of result where 6th or 7th will still be seen as a good season. It won't be seen as a great season, but it's not going to be a bad season.
Mm-mm.
Whilst at United, 6th or 7th or lower is going to be, you would say, the worst season ever, but you had last season.
Yeah. Pretty much. It would maybe be better than last season, but that's not saying much.
No, but yeah, so at Spurs he's got that little bit of leeway of being able to aim top 4 and get 5, 6, 7. And
so is that you're going to be your top 7, you think? City, Chelsea, Arsenal?
Chelsea, City.
United, Liverpool, Everton, Spurs. Do you see anyone else cracking in there? Like your Newcastle, West Ham, or maybe even Southampton.
Southampton, you feel, had it, but of course they've done the Southampton thing of paraded their current crop of top players they had, and they're off, now they've been sold. So
that Southampton have been very cunning. Arguably, all those players that they have sold are players that would have had to sell anyway. Luke Shaw would not have stayed at Southampton with Man United sniffing up for him.
Well,
neither would Lucky Lambert or Adam Lallana.
No, that's the thing. That's what I mean. Last season was they had this bunch of good players. So that was the good season where the good players went out. They basically showcased them all and went, look at all our good players. And you know, this transfer window is the one where everybody comes in with the checkbooks open and go, cool, we want these players. And Southampton goes, right, well, start the bidding then. You've got to get 3 or 4 teams in with big checkbooks and go, well, go to United. Well, Chelsea are looking, Arsenal are looking, you know, Real Madrid are looking. What's your top dollar? And then go to the other ones and say the same things. You know, they get the big money that way.
They definitely got good value for every player. I don't think they've been welched. That being said, they've lost only 5 players. 5 very good players, no doubt. But Southampton have a very good academy system, and Gareth Bale himself has said that he believes Southampton can actually easily retain their position, if not better it, being an old Southampton boy.
Yeah.
And there's a few good young players in the Southampton youth team that'll make the step up, and I think they've got the right coach in Ronald Koeman.
I don't doubt that they'll have a good team. I just don't know if it'll be this year. I don't see them being
top 10, though, what do you think?
Top half, definitely. Top half, definitely. Maybe a bit unlucky and get, 13, 14 sort of area, but I'd say, top half.
I think we've got the usual suspects in the top, in that top half. I think Stoke will finish in that top half as well.
Yeah. So I think
maybe even compete for a top 8, top 7 position if they have a good season.
If they have a good season. I think Newcastle will be top half as well, but they'll do the same thing Newcastle does every year. They'll start with a hiss and a roar. They'll look really good. They'll accumulate enough points to be comfortable in the middle table somewhere, and then they'll just drop off for the second half and won't try because
they've got Alan Pardew.
Yeah, and they've got to where they want to be. You know, the fans that go, "Oh, we're a mid-table team. We've got to mid-table." And
I don't think I'll be fair. I think the Toon fans definitely want their team to do a lot better, but they're stuck in a world where they don't risk. Their owner is not going to spend the kind of money that they were spending in the 90s to get good players into Liverpool, and they don't have a manager like, say, Bobby Robson, who can turn an average team into a very good side, like Bobby Robson is able to get the best out of his players. Alan Pardew, I know that Newcastle's owner loves him, but I think at some point they have to, if the ownership structure changes in Newcastle, things will change, but you're absolutely right. I think they're not going to perform exactly the way you say. It's basically the way they're designed.
It's basically the way they performed for the last 5 or 6 years, really.
Yeah, yeah. That being said, do you feel any of the promoted clubs are going to be in that mid-table region, in that top 12?
I could see all three of them
stay up. I think
I could see all three of them stay up. I could see them if they have a very good year, all getting it high. Out of the three, I think only really QPR probably have a realistic chance of getting mid-table. But that's because they've been here, so they have that experience. Leicester City's been a while. Burnley hasn't been quite as long, but still.
Well, you got to think about it. QPR qualified through the playoffs. Leicester and Burnley were comfortably first and second.
I realise that, but they both quite easily made it.
But that being said, Burnley and Leicester have strong championship experience, and QPR did the bounce back. QPR, though, have a very experienced manager in Harry Redknapp.
Yes.
But I think they still don't quite have that squad, and I believe QPR will be struggling for relegation. I don't think they'll be relegated, but they will be in that relegation dogfight. I can see Burnley or Leicester being that relegation dogfight, but I think actually Burnley have a bit of class, and they've got a very good manager.
Yeah.
And they've actually got a good structure. You remember the last time Burnley were in the Premiership, their manager left halfway through the season to join Bolton and took his best players with him.
Yeah,
that sort of thing is unlikely to repeat itself this time. So they may actually go up, and they've got a good ownership structure. Leicester actually have money, which plays a big way in keeping you up.
I was actually going to disagree with you there, and my thought was that Leicester would be the one out of Leicester Burnley to look more likely to stay up. They seem to have a very good squad, and they have money to strengthen it with.
And they seem to have owners who are not crazy.
Yeah, which is a very important point, really. They have owners that aren't crazy.
QPR have a good owner as well, who is also quite patient and is actually quite good to the fans. Yeah. As well, because he was one of the only, QPR were the only club when they got promoted back in their first promoted season that did not raise their prices for Premiership as a reward to the fans for supporting them through thick and thin and the hard times in the Championship.
Yes.
So he's a true football man. QPR are never going to have the money of your Chelsea's, even your West Ham, because they're just not as big a club.
The problem is they're over in the west side of London as well. We've got the Chelsea's, you've got the Fulham's, you've got things like that. They draw in some reasonable numbers, so it makes it a bit harder for...
being said, I could easily see all three of these clubs stay up. I think the relegation strugglers, and I've mentioned it to you before we started, Crystal Palace, definitely very, very shaky after getting rid of Tony Pulis. Any team with Tony Pulis is never being relegated, so I think that's already a bad move that allow him to leave.
I would say that the only reason they didn't get relegated last season was Tony Pulis.
Yeah.
It was fully the reason behind them staying up. It was ridiculous how they stayed up, but it was all him.
I think the second team that will have a relegation struggle, and I think will be relegated as well, is West Ham. Because I feel West Ham's owners are under the impression that West Ham are not West Ham. And
the thing there I think you'll find is that West Ham owners want them to play more attacking. They say, let's play more attacking and stuff. And as you say, you look at it and go, but you're West Ham.
And you've got Sam Allardyce.
Sorry, why are you playing attacking football? You're set up to play defensive. But I think Sam Allardyce will go, yes, of course, we will play attacking football. And by attacking football, I mean the same football we've been playing for the last 3 years.
But I get the impression that Sam Allardyce will do exactly what he does best. He'll maybe have a few bad results against the big teams, but he'll grind out the wins where he needs them. Some ridiculous result will happen, and West Ham will fire him. at the worst possible time, because it almost writes itself. This
actually, you don't see that.
And then there'll be like this downward spiral all the way back into the championship.
I can see that. And the ridiculous thing will be somewhere around Christmas where he'll draw with Tottenham or something. And for some, but it would have been a game where they looked like they should be winning it, and but things didn't quite go right, and they're all over for some reason. Tottenham or whoever's playing poorly, and then they get a draw. Then they draw the next week. Well, they only win 1-0 against, say, Leicester or someone, and then suddenly the owners are like, "You're not playing attacking enough," and they fire him and try to bring in an attacking manager.
The third team that I'm going to pick for relegation, and this is a club that has not been ever relegated from the Premiership, is Aston Villa. They've got all the ingredients of a club that is on its way down.
Yeah.
They've got ownership issues. They've got a manager who doesn't quite know what he can do. And I don't blame Paul Lambert. He doesn't know how much money he's got. He doesn't know the thing of the business. And ultimately, their squad looks absolutely demoralized. Like, towards the end of last season, they looked absolutely demoralized. And I don't see how even the best managers can get something out of this. Ironically, if Lambert were to leave and he were to be replaced by a manager like David Moyes, and that would actually potentially be quite good for them. In fact, any of these three clubs I'm picking for relegation, if they were to get David Moyes, would probably do pretty well to come back, because David Moyes is also a manager who's very good at keeping you from being relegated, but he's also good at, well, this is what he did at Everton. He's got a club that's perennially underperforming and in the doldrums, and he brings it back up.
Yeah.
He builds it into something that can win. And like, just as he was about to bring it to the winning, into a win machine, he got the offer of a lifetime and he went there. And I think he'll regret it forever, because now Roberto Martinez is going to be the legendary Everton manager that makes them into the winning club.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that I have a lot of sympathy for David Moyes, but I think there's a few opportunities there for him. I'm picking those three clubs for my relegation. And I think the usual suspects will struggle. You've got your Sunderlands.
Swansea will be quite low.
Up there. Depends on what Gary Monk does, and he's bought a few good players in the offseason, so maybe Swansea will look maybe 12th, 13th again, if they're lucky. Hull are always there, thereabouts.
Yeah, looking at their transfers, they've brought in a couple of good players, but they sold Long, who was main source of their goals last season.
And Norwich barely made it by this.
Oh, actually, yeah, Norwich, that's another one that's quite likely to go down this way. This year, I haven't seen them buy anybody useful.
So those are good picks, I think. But I've explained why I think my three are going to be the ones getting relegated. Who are you picking?
I would go with, think about it, probably Norwich and Burnley, almost definitely
being relegated.
Being relegated, Burnley, yes, has got a good club. It's got a good club atmosphere there, but without the money, without the player, you know, the players have got a good heart. But I just feel that's
often that can play a better role in relegation dogfight than
it's going to come down to how many points they can take off the others around them. The problem I see is whether they get too demoralised from facing the top six, top seven sort of teams, where I don't see they're going to be able to compete very well at all.
Okay, and your third, it's Crystal Palace, isn't it?
Yeah, it has to be Crystal Palace. I was saying the third, I'm not sure, but it has to be Crystal Palace. They've just done it in a way, the start of the season, whilst they've got the whole season to try and sort their crap out, and they don't have a bad side, and you say they've got where they are in London means that they get a reasonable amount of people, and they've got some income there, they can possibly sort themselves out. But if the owners aren't wanting to buy players and spend money... Difficult for any manager, and...
Pulis is not exactly a spendthrift, you know.
He likes to spend money, and the whole Crystal Palace thing comes from a conflict of philosophies on how to run a football side. But Tony Pulis going, look, you need to spend money to make money, basically. You gotta buy some good players, and we've got to 11th on the squad we are, and the squad we are is a bit light, really. It was a bit of a miracle, but it was a lot of hard work as well to get there. Now let's bring in some good players, strengthen up our main positions, make sure we've got some quality there, and then the boys are going to rally around them as well and go, look, we've strengthened our side, we're going to be good. You can buy three, maybe four good players, not for too much, you know. They're sort of $5-6 million players, you know, maybe $1-10 million player sort of thing in the centre there somewhere. And that's going to lift everybody up, and that's going to cement them as mid to high table sort of thing. So you maybe even push up into your 8-9 sort of position and look to go from there. But the owners apparently just went, we don't want to spend money. What's the spending money? No, you're out. Which I suppose is a good way to ensure that you make money if you're not worried about staying in the Premier League and are happy just to take, you know,
your parachute payments
and your parachute payments or whatever. Or, you know, take your earnings from the Premier League for a season or two and then go back in the Championship and
come back up and
look to come back up. You know, you spend a season there, a season down, or two seasons up, one or two seasons down, and take your money that way. But.
Oh, one team which we haven't mentioned, who will probably also be in the relegation dogfight, is West Brom.
Yeah, well, I haven't heard much about them at all.
Well, West Brom changed their manager, and I have a soft spot in my heart for the Baggies. They have always, ever since being promoted back, they've always played a very attacking style, regardless of whether they're in the relegation dogfight or not. They promote with, they're like a club that spends within their means, they're in the black, and they don't play negative football. It's everything that's right about a small club, you know?
Yes, yes.
So I would be very disappointed if they got relegated. I think the Premiership would be a poorer place without them, but they will, I think they'll be in that dogfight for sure.
I think they'll be in the dogfight, but they've been in the dogfight mostly the last few years, and they've got that experience of how to survive a relegation dogfight. And I don't see them dropping so many points that it's going to be a struggle. I see them being on the edge where, you know, as long as they, and they know how to do it, as long as they get the results where it matters, don't get too badly beaten by the top four and pick up your draws in the mid-table clashes, you know, and look at keeping your home wins quite high, they'll do well. And I don't see them being relegated either.
So you don't see Aston Villa getting relegated? As much as you loathe Aston Villa with every core of your being?
I would love Aston Villa to be relegated. But for, what, 10-odd years, maybe 15 years, I've sat there and gone, come on, Aston Villa, be relegated. And they always, and sometimes they'll be good in the mid-high table, and you're like, oh. And then they'll have their bad seasons, and they start, and they get dragged into the relegation fight. And then for some reason, they'll have a magic run of three or four games that they get three or four wins, unlikely as they are, and that just takes them out of that dogfight, and they get to not quite coast through the rest of the season, but, you know, a bit more comfortable cruising altitude to get through. They do it to troll me, I'm sure. But
well, a lot of the clubs I've been picking for a relegation battle has been squarely linked with ownership issues. And I think we all know that that is the big destabilizing factor in any club.
Just look at, it is. Anytime there's ownership issues or where the owner starts exerting too much decision-making onto the squad, where especially where there's a decent manager who is fit for the club there.
That's interesting you mentioned that, because the impression you got from the first spell Jose Mourinho had at Chelsea is that Roman Abramovich was the most interfering manager who did a lot of...
Well,
whereas Carlo Ancelotti, who was 7 years, I can't remember how many years at Milan, and very successful at Milan, by the way, Silvio Berlusconi made no secret about the fact that he just considered Carlo Ancelotti to be a little clown that he told what to do, and the team was really his choice. And I remember 442 had an interview with them, and they're like, so you've worked for two billionaire owners, how is it different working for a Roman Abramovich versus Berlusconi? And he was basically like, it's like night and day. They're like, this guy just lets me do what I want. Roman Abramovich is just like, I expect this sort of results. What sort of players do you want? He's like, I want these sort of players. I think we can get them with this sort of budget. And he gets them for me. That's it.
I think, to be fair, Roman Abramovich, when he first brought Chelsea, wasn't very controlling. He was very laid back and was... It was a toy for him. He was a Russian billionaire, and he wanted to get the things that billionaires had. And looked around the world and went, billionaires own football clubs. I'll buy me a football club. Chelsea happened to be the perfect fit for him because
they were
badly in debt. They weren't really that well performing, but they had got fourth place the season before, so therefore got in the Champions League, so they were a good investment. Roman looked and went, that's a good investment. I'll splash some cash down there and buy that. And the first couple of seasons, you know, doing as you say, going to the manager and saying, what do you need? All right, here's your checkbook. Go off. And you say, you got Mourinho in, and yep, do what you want. But after a few years of Mourinho, Abramovich decided that he could be a manager too. And he wanted to play more like it was, you know, Football Manager. And
Chelsea has grown from being a hobby to Roman Abramovich to an actual labour of love.
Yeah. And there was a few years there at the end of Mourinho's first tenure where Abramovich started to be a bit more interfering and started to want this, and he wanted that player, you know, he wanted this, and he wanted Chelsea to play in a certain way, he wanted it to be a certain thing. I think that's when it first started becoming, where it had gone from being, I own a football club because I am rich, ha 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 ha, look at my football club, to where he sort of started to feel something for the club, and he wanted to do something with the club, and it rubbed Mourinho the wrong way, I guess, or, you know, Mourinho didn't agree with some of his picks.
I think so. Well, yeah. Those two strong personalities, they're never necessarily always going to agree. That being said, I think as far as billionaire owners go, Chelsea have probably got one of the better ones.
Yeah,
and I think any Chelsea fan now, maybe not even 5 years ago, can have no doubts that Roman Abramovich is, you know, his blood is blue. And, you know, there's a CFC tattoo somewhere on his body, surely.
Yeah, I mean, yes, over the years, he's become more and more blue. Now he is true blue.
Yeah. Anyways, I think that's a good place to leave it. And we'll thank you for your time, and we hope to hear you next time.